Hello and welcome to the Remix My Fitness podcast, where we learn that there is more than one way to eat, train, and live. I'm your host, Jimmy Kim, and thank you so much for tuning in today. Every week we talk fitness, health, food, and we check in with one of my online coaching clients, Dave Stewart. I would like to mention that today's show is brought to you by Cracking Your Fitness DNA. This fitness personality quiz can be found on remixmyfitness.com. If you've tried different ways to reach your fitness goals, but you keep failing, then you aren't doing the right workout. The Cracking Your Fitness DNA quiz will identify what your fitness personality is, which will save you money. More importantly, time. You won't waste time doing workouts that just don't motivate you. So after doing the 2-minute quiz, you'll actually find programs and exercises that you want to do instead of forcing you to do them. So go and visit remixmyfitness.com, take the quiz, let me know if I got it right or wrong. Hit me up on social, or hit me up at jimmy@remixmyfitness.com. So in today's show, we're talking to Peter Hewitt, aka Vitamin P Online. Peter keeps himself extremely busy. He works a 9-to-5 job, he spins music and DJs on the weekend, he has his own YouTube health and lifestyle channel called Vitamin P Online, and he isn't afraid to just start new endeavors, like starting a garden to help him produce fresh vegetables for his plant-based diet. On top of all this, he is what I would consider a true fitness fanatic. He works out, or he's at least physically active every single day. And he's tried just about everything, from organized sports to calisthenic workouts like doing chin-ups, dips, and muscle-ups. He lifts weights, he does circuits. He's just really down for anything. And what's really cool is he's mainly self-taught. He's never had a trainer before for any kind of formal training to working out. He's just gone out and done it and learned himself. He gets his inspiration from doing his own research online, on YouTube, and anything that he can get his hands on. And I was just so happy to speak to Peter, and I can't wait to share his story with you. In this first episode, we get into how he organizes his workouts, how he used to set goals, and how he sets them now. And it's so fascinating, so intriguing to hear him go through the different mindset changes. You'll definitely be surprised at what he has learned from all the years of training. The second part, which I'm going to air in a few weeks, we get into his journey about how he transitioned to a plant-based diet after 37 years of eating meat. Peter tells us honestly about his struggles, his worries about losing everything he worked so hard for, and how he has successfully made that transition and kept it up for a whole year. We start the show with Peter doing the Cracking Your Fitness DNA quiz, and let's see if I can keep the streak alive of the successful results. So let's go ahead and meet Peter. I'd like to welcome to the Remix My Fitness podcast, Peter Hewitt, aka Vitamin P Online. What's going on, buddy?
Doing well. Hello, everybody.
So, Peter, before we get into the whole show, it is now become tradition for all the guests to do what's called the Cracking Your Fitness DNA, which is fitness DNA quiz, which is a little a fitness personality quiz. So far, I have a 100% track record with this this quiz. And look, if it ends today, then no big deal. But I'm hoping I'll keep the streak alive. Okay.
All right. Got my fingers crossed.
Yeah. So it's a fitness DNA quiz. Is pretty much it helps me. I use this with everyone that I work with to kind of see what kinds of activities would physical activities, exercises, workouts would kind of best suit you personally. So, it's just a series of short questions, and then from there we'll hopefully get an idea of what Peter likes to do, right? So while Peter and I are doing the quiz, you can enjoy a quick sample of a beat called "Too Cool" by Kevin McLeod. The artist info and song can be found on today's show notes at remixmyfitness.com/podcast. I'll see you back in a few seconds. Okay, Peter, so we're back, and you just answered those 9 questions with me.
Yes.
And you ready to hear the results?
Yes.
Yeah? So I'm going to put it through this through a special computer. It's going to generate the results for me.
All right.
And what comes up is you are majority what we call the loner.
Okay.
The loner. So you're someone that you prefer working out by yourself.
Yes.
That is true. Okay, yeah. So look.
Yes, I do.
Listeners.
I do like to work up myself. 100%.
The streak is still alive here. The streak is still alive.
Yeah,
so you prefer like single person activities, yes. Like running, strength training, yoga. You do you cycle at all?
No, I don't.
No?
I do swimming.
You do swimming. Okay. Yeah. So those are the things that you prefer doing. So I imagine a lot of activities that you lean towards will be, you know, will be single based, right?
Yes, 100%.
Sounds good. All right. Well, Peter, I'm excited for you to come on to the show today because we've chatted here and there, and I find you live a super, super busy and very like a very different life. You pretty much wear 4 different hats on any given day. So if I can, correct me if I'm wrong somewhere, but I'm gonna run down like maybe like a typical day in your life here, right? So
you
have a, we'll call it like you have like a 9-to-5 job, right? That you go to like Monday, like you go to 5 days a week, right? You also DJ, right?
Yes.
You DJ at like clubs or at events, things like that.
Yeah, weekly. Yeah, I do. Right now, I have a contract at a restaurant that I DJ
okay.
at. It's probably a popular one, but yeah, I DJ there weekly.
Sweet.
Once a week.
So you DJ, so you work 9-to-5, you DJ, you are a workout fanatic, okay? And we'll get into that, but you are a workout fanatic. You love training and different things.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, you have your own YouTube channel. You have your own YouTube show called The Vitamin P Online Show, where you talk about fitness, you talk about health, and I'll also mention you have now recently become quite the gardener as well, right?
Yes, I've just found my green thumb now recently in the last this year.
Yeah.
So yes, I do have a garden this year that I started up.
Okay. How do you find all the time to do all this stuff?
Very good question. I would have to say when it comes to my 9-to-5 and DJing, those are both considered my job. So it's work. And I guess I have to work to survive. And my 9-to-5 is my, I guess it's not my fun job. I love what I do, but it's my regular 9-to-5. And then the DJing part is my fun job. And I've been DJing pretty much since high school. It's just something that stuck with me. And you know, after a few years, the ball got rolling and it became a part-time job. And so those two things are almost like priorities. So I guess with that one, it was more, getting my priorities straight. So those two things are something I'll probably always do. I'll probably always have a 9-to-5 and I'll probably always DJ. Gardening is new. And I can't lie, I was doing it alone at first, which was difficult to get to my garden every day, but my dad helps me out with that. So he goes to the garden on the days that I can't. So I do get help with my garden.
So Mr. Hugh is the one with the green thumb then, right?
Yes, he's the original. Actually, when I was a kid, the same garden lot that I leased from the city was the same garden lot that he used to take me to when I was a kid.
Oh, wow.
He had.
Yes. So it was good and we're bonding, so that helps to keep that ball rolling.
Okay.
And then my YouTube channel, what I do with that one, I try to make a video a week, but I'm not as consistent as I would like to be. But my goal with that is to make one video a week, and which really shouldn't be hard. It's 24 hours in a day, and I try to squeeze out one a week, which doesn't always happen, but that's the kind of the goal that I set with my YouTube channel. So I make it happen. Sometimes it's every 2 weeks. Sometimes I'll do 1-2 videos in 1 week. But yeah, I find the time, whether I do it early in the morning or I do it on the weekends, I make it happen.
Okay. So I want to get into a little bit of all of that stuff, but okay. I got to ask you first, what kind of music do you usually spin?
Well, it depends on the client.
Okay.
I play really everything. So hip hop, R&B, reggae, alternative, top 40. It depends on the client. Like there was one time I played for, I guess seniors. And they wanted the waltz and the charts, and I had to play it.
So nice.
I'm pretty versatile.
Yeah.
I can, and I've pretty much collected. My mom collected records before me, and then when I started, so I have a wide variety of selection.
It's amazing.
So I pretty much play anything the client needs.
It's amazing. Well, the reason why I ask is because my later years in high school and mm-hmm. throughout university, a friend and I, DJ Riz, mm-hmm. we came up with mix CDs and mm-hmm. we used to sell them at flea markets. We would do like banquet hall jams, and that would help pay for university when I was coming up. So
cool.
I was kind of in that world a little bit. I didn't DJ. I didn't have mm-hmm. the capabilities to do that, but I did MC. And we came out with, I think we came out with 4 CDs that was distributed by this company. And, mm-hmm. We got to sell our own CDs as well. So my buddy who DJ Riz, he actually is the one that produced the intro beat to the podcast.
Oh yes, which I like. Yes.
Oh, you like that? You listen to some of the show? Yeah. So he made that beat. I called him up. He asked me for a favor. So he went by DJ Riz, and I went by MCKIM.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah. So and then I really hated that name. Like I was like, oh no, I want to kind of get away from. He's like, no. He's like Jimmy. He's like MCKIM. I'm like KIM. Like. I want to sound like the people that think like a woman, like a female MC. He's like, no, we'll come up with something cool. And like, we came up with a couple different acronyms for that, which were all a little silly. But so one of the things I want to get into with you is I was saying earlier, you are a fitness fanatic, right? So how did you just wake up one day and you're just like, I'm going to go work out in the gym, or like what happened? Tell me about it.
Well, I think it has to do with my upbringing. Like most people as parents, they want to get you involved in sports at an early age. So from a young age, like my mom and dad put me in soccer, baseball, basketball, like outside of school. And I think once I finished high school, I kind of kept that ball rolling. I always lift. I was always doing weightlifting and exercising, but it was only for the goal of getting in shape for summer. So it wasn't consistent all those early years, but it was just something that I would do consistently, maybe for 3 or 4 months. But then after a while, it almost became a habit and a routine and something that became a part of my life, almost like waking up and eating breakfast and taking a shower, brushing my teeth, going to work, exercising became an automatic, automatically something that's as a lifestyle that I just kind of introduced into my life. And it's almost just become automatic now at this point. Mm-hmm.
So you went from playing soccer and basketball and all those things, mm-hmm. but like the fitness DNA quiz kind of took us to you prefer being by your, like you prefer working out by yourself, right?
Yes.
So were you, when you were doing these team sports, did you recognize like, oh, this is fun, but I'd rather be lifting weights I'd rather be going out lifting weights.
I think that more happened when I started to exercise. At first, you'll always want a workout buddy because, when everyone's first circle, like, I need somebody to spot me. Right. And that's usually you get your fitness partner. But I found, I would be motivated and excited to work out, but my workout partner wouldn't. And that's a huge reason why a lot of people, fail, going to the gym consistently is when you have a partner. So I guess going through that a few times, like exercising with someone and them not wanting to go, or even exercising with someone and they want to do pull-ups, but I want to do push-ups, mm-hmm. Kind of forced me to exercise alone, and I've just been for to do. I mean, I do still play sports on the side. I didn't join anything this year, but I do play baseball on the side. But when it comes to exercise, I think after years and years of trying to find a partner who is into it as I have been, has been difficult. Mm-hmm. So it's just over the years, I kind of just got into the habit of just doing my own thing and not really, you know, looking for that out, you know, buddy to work out with, which I have no problem with doing once in a while. But I guess it's just, you know, after years and years of not being able to find that buddy, it kind of forced me to kind of exercise by myself.
Okay. Well, that's, you know, I'm exactly the same way. I prefer in the weight room, I prefer just being by myself because, like you said, I could just do my own thing. If I want to do push-ups today, I'm going to do push-ups. But I used to always get stuck with my partner, with my workout partners, who were really great. But they were very, like, regimented in the sense of Monday is chest day, Tuesday is back day. And some days I just didn't feel like working on my back, right? I was like, I want to work out my biceps. Or I want to go, you know, they're like, no, but this training manual says that we need to work out this day like this to get the gains. I'm like,
right.
I remember just being really early on, just telling him like, oh man, like we don't have to follow exactly what's in the book. Exactly. Right? We can kind of just maybe go by feel, right? But they're like, no, no. So I like yourself, after going through a few training partners, I quickly just realized I preferred working out by myself.
Yep, especially when it comes to leg day. Nobody wants to do leg day. That's when everybody disappears, right? And you're like, okay, well, I don't want to do it by myself. And then you neglect it. And so it's definitely easier to just, well, for us, I guess, me and you prefer to just work out alone.
Yeah. Which is funny because that is probably also the number one reason why someone doesn't go work out by themselves, right?
Exactly.
Is that they don't want to go work out by themselves. They don't want to work out alone. So,
yeah.
So tell me, you went from doing these sports, and then how did you find your way to the weight room?
Very good question. It was always just something that I was doing year after year, but I was only doing it specifically to get ready for the summertime or a vacation. And it was the only thing that I kind of knew what like to do to get in shape. And at that time, it was hard to get involved in to get involved with an organized sports team or anything like that. This is a bit more difficult as an adult. So yeah, I had my own little dumbbells. I had my own little mini gym at home. It was just something that I would just, honestly, in the beginning, it was just doing push-ups and maybe doing arm curls and crunches, which I got results. So yeah, it was just something that I did in my home before joining a gym pretty much every year to get ready for summer.
Okay. And how did you know what to do? Like you said, you did some push-ups and you did some curls and things like that, but where did you even get that inspiration from? Like, where did you even know, like, all right, if I do some push-ups and if I do some crunches, I'll get something out of this?
That would definitely have to be through when I played organized sports, like through high school, just like training for track and field and stuff like that. We'd have to do push-ups, squats, and they would really put us in the weight room to do exercising. So I kind of got those first few tips from high school when I was training for sports.
Okay. And would you say you were athletic in high school? You fell into sports pretty easily?
It was difficult for me because when I was in grade school, I was into soccer and baseball. Track and field as well. But then once I got into high school, it was a bit more difficult because my growth spurt stopped. So just, you know, I wasn't growing anymore. So I wasn't, you know, and the competition was a lot more intense in high school. So I didn't, believe it or not, make a lot of the sports teams in high school. Well, especially basketball.
And now you've obviously progressed past your home workouts, or I'm sure you're the kind of person to do workouts at home if you miss going to the gym. But what was your next experience after that? So you went from doing push-ups and things like that, and you thought to yourself, okay, Peter, I need to up this game here. Like, what was next after that?
After that, I really got into calisthenics, which Right, which was a branch of working out at home, but I started to see popular, like, you know, videos and stuff like that at that time of like calisthenics experts and people, you know, doing muscle ups and you know, doing handstands and flips and stuff like that. So I think that was my first stage of working out, not just in my house, but like outside at the park, just finding a bar to do pull-ups and doing more advanced moves instead of the, you know, a simple push-up and stuff like that.
Okay. Can you do a muscle-up now?
Yeah. I do muscle-ups in the gym. The roof is really low, but I can bang some out.
So, for those that have, you know, don't really know an idea of what calisthenics is, could you explain or could you elaborate? We know it's like handstands and things like that, but what, a little bit more about it.
I guess calisthenics is more of the science of body weight exercise, and kind of figuring out how to get a good workout in without using any weights at all. So more than just doing, like, most people will just do 3 sets of 10 push-ups, where when you're doing calisthenics training, you're kind of wanting to do as many push-ups as you can. So maybe you'll do as many push-ups as you can in 10 minutes or something like that to really feel the burn. But even figuring out how to work on my back, doing calisthenics, because a lot of people are like, well, how do you do back exercises? So even learning like how to do like a row, calisthenics, like doing it by calisthenics, just basically holding onto a low bar and just pulling your chest towards it. So what was the question?
That was the question. I mean, that you answered perfectly, you know. So
okay,
calisthenics is just taking that body weight movement to that next level, right? So there's the push-ups and squats and planks. Those are considered calisthenics as well. But I guess what you're talking about is the movement of the calisthenic training, which has become a huge movement now, you know.
Yes.
I know it was always popular in Europe, but it didn't really make its way here to North America until, mm-hmm, I want to say like five, maybe 8 years ago. So it's still relatively new. And it's like
the boom off of YouTube, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Do you ever follow, you ever watch Bar Stars at all?
That was actually one of the big contributors for me getting into calisthenics.
Okay.
I even, you know, we even tried to open up our, not open, but we start almost tried to start our own little Bar Star crew in Toronto.
Oh, nice.
So I was definitely a part of that movement, like, you know, from the ground up. Like, there was this guy named Hannibal.
Yeah, Hannibal.
Have you heard of him?
Oh, yeah, for sure. First,
yeah, he was probably the original, even though a lot of people were doing calisthenics before him, but for him, he was the first person that I was introduced to online. Like, he was able to do, like, flag pulls, mm-hmm, which is like holding your body out, mm-hmm, on a bar, like straight, and this, all those advanced moves. He was the first person that I'd seen, and I think it was through a Bar Stars video where he was hosted.
Yeah,
I think he had his own channel at that time, so it was definitely watching people like him made me want to even try to get into it. And, you know,
for sure, when I saw him come out, I'll never forget it. Like, I'd never seen anything really like that before, and I believe when I first started following him, he didn't really have too many followers, and I want to say this, but I mean, someone correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe his channel was called like Ghetto Workouts in the beginning, because he was always doing them just in the park
.
My one beef with a lot of Bar Stars people who do this is, what do you think it might be, Peter?
Maybe the credit?
Not the credit, the legs, man. The legs. They always wear those long shorts. You can only see their ankles, but you could tell their ankles are just so skinny, man.
You know what it is? It's because those guys believe in no weights at all. Mm-hmm. So to overload your legs is harder with body weight exercises. Like, absolutely, they probably do squats, but they probably aren't able to overload the muscle the same way you would with, like, you know, squatting of, you know, weights on, sure, you know. Yeah,
I hear you.
But you're right though. That's the one thing that is just like, oh man.
the legs, and then there's a traditional, they wear the super long and baggy shorts, you know, so you can't see the legs. But there's another channel called I think Barstar Wars or Bar Wars.
Negative competitions.
Yeah, it's the most prevalent there because as soon as they start doing like leg drills, I saw them do like burpees or single leg squats, and that's what gets some of them. You know, some of them they're just like they have nothing left after. So okay, so if we went from calisthenics, and tell me before we move on to the next, when you first started learning calisthenics, were you just automatically like an expert at it? Like you just muscled up the first time you did it?
No. Believe it or not, it probably took me about 3 summers before I was able to do a muscle up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So because I would only be able to do it outside, right? Because I just couldn't find any equipment in the gym to practice. So it was almost like, once it was warm enough to get outside and go to the park, I would just pretty much practice. But there was one summer I went out there, I was practicing, and then eventually I was able to do the move.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Yeah. So how was that first time you actually did the muscle up? Like, how did that? You must have been just so happy. 3 summers is that's 3 years.
Oh my goodness! Yes, I was extremely happy. But you know what it was? I was like, man, I can't do this. How can I do it? So I went on YouTube and I was actually getting tips from the people who could do it. You know, telling me like how to snap your wrist and maybe try to do a what do they call it when you kind of when you move your what's it called when
like
you
like a kipping style
kip it yeah to kip it. I mean, once you get really good, you won't need to do that. But I started to kip it, and that is kind of what got me over the bar for the very first time.
So, do you mean that these people actually they would message you, or you mean like you got tips from the video?
Right, from a video.
Oh, okay.
Very cool. How to do a muscle up on YouTube.
Okay. Yeah. You know, if you actually, a lot of these guys, if you comment on their page, they'll legitimately give you some advice right on there. So, I would always encourage people to, I mean, that's why I always encourage people to hit me up anytime. Like I'm more than willing to give my 2 cents. And I've, there's one guy, I think they're called Calisthenic Movements, and I think they're from Germany. And I will frequently, you know, just comment on their posts, and they'll just give me advice right on there, or they'll just they'll comment right back. So there's people out there always willing to help, man.
I need to get more into doing comments. I want people to comment on my channel, but yet I don't do it on others. You know, so I definitely need to do that more for sure.
Yeah. Okay, so from calisthenics to then, like, was there anything else like after that, or you just been strictly sticking with calisthenics?
Right. So then, what happened? I felt like I I wanted to get back to my lifting weights roots. So I joined the gym and I kind of started doing a bit of both. So because my friends who were doing calisthenics are like, nah, man, we're not lifting no weights. Look at Hannibal; he doesn't lift weights and he's ripped, right? And I'm like, that's true. He doesn't lift weights, but he looked like he does. But you know, he probably doesn't, because I have friends who look exactly like him.
They, we all got one of those friends weights that you just hate, right? Because they just lift one thing and then just boom, like muscles spurt out of nowhere.
Yeah, like he only does push-ups and pull-ups and he is ripped, right? Which obviously has a lot more to do with diet as well, as you know, also it's a combination. But for me, I was drawn to the gym and I was like, you know what, I'm going to join the gym again and kind of do a combination of both. So I just got a gym membership and started going to the gym as much as I could in the beginning.
Okay. And you were just doing, were you then just going back to doing like chest presses and squats and you know, bar rows? Like, was it like a typical strength training session or?
In the very beginning, I was very old school because, you know, the only people you knew, because in the very beginning, you know, I was on the whole old school, you know, arm day, chest day, leg day, because I didn't know what else to do.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, many years later, now my workouts are way different now.
Yeah.
More upper body, lower body type of splits.
Yeah.
But in the very beginning, I had no idea what I was doing.
But I mean, that old school method is still, I think in my opinion, the most tried and true method to actually sculpt and build muscle in certain areas, right? Like having like a chest day, like dedicating a whole day or a whole hour to that chest is, you're not going to be able to get a better pump than that. But
you'll see results for sure.
Yeah. But in terms of, let's say, I guess, like muscle efficiency, right, and time efficiency, mm-hmm. it's probably not the best, right? Like,
right.
It's very common now. You'll see bodybuilders. They look amazing, right? They look like they mm-hmm. should be super athletes, and then I think they are in their own right. But you put them in, I don't know. You pit them against a wrestler. You pit them against get them to run around the field in a soccer field for an hour. And they don't do as well, right? And that's just the physique of it. So you're saying, so now you're doing more into like splits, and mm-hmm. If I were to take a guess, like you do a lot more like high intensity type circuits.
Yes, I incorporate both HIIT exercises and supersets. So I have a whole bunch of different routines that I do, and even in 1 week. Like 1 week I'll do strength training with like high reps, low weights, and mix it up with the exercise that I'm doing, high weight and low reps and HIIT. So yeah, I'm really all over the place now. Mm-hmm.
So you talk about, you said this become like a habit for you to do, but yep. I guess now you work out for more than just the Beachbody. So what is the reason that gets you going to go to the gym? That we got the habit down. Mm-hmm. But what else? There must, like, is there an end game for you to this?
Ah, that's a very good question. I think for me, what really got me kicked into gear was me wanting to look a certain way at a certain age. So when I was in my mid 20s, I was like, you know what? By the time I'm 30, I want to look like a man. Right. So I'm exercising. I don't want to look like these Instagram people. Right. So I'm working out hard. By the time 30 came, that body I didn't see what I thought I was expecting to see, like result wise. Right.
And if you don't mind me asking, what was that? So you say you wanted to be like a man in your mind. What what did that look like exactly?
It just looked like defined arms, mm-hmm. nice chest. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, it was weighing a certain weight. In my mind.
Interesting. So could you share with us what your weight was maybe at that time, if you remember, mm-hmm. and what you thought that weight should be?
Yeah, I was 127 pounds.
127 pounds? Okay.
But everyone used to tell me, oh, you look great. But to them, I was skinny, right? To them, that was great, right? Mm-hmm. I was fit.
But to you, that was like, you were just...
It was too small.
Interesting.
Yes. So I wanted to be bigger, right? Even bigger than I am now. In my mind, I was like, yeah, I'll be big and ripped. But by the time I was 30, that never happened, right?
So by the time you were 30, would you say you were still 127 pounds?
No, I was getting up there in weight. So by the time I was 30 now, maybe I got to like, I was at maybe 140 pounds or something like that. Mm-hmm. But... what I think happened was my mindset changed because I was no longer chasing that body anymore. And I almost forgot that that was the reason why I even started working out in the first place. So I ended up being more for the health reasons. So flexibility, range of motion, when I went to the doctor, they're like, oh, you know, your heart rate, you know, your blood pressure's a little high. So, you know, I guess more I do it now for the health benefits more than anything else.
So when you think about your workouts now, you're not trying to chase a certain body type anymore.
No, I am not.
I see.
Or I'm not trying to chase like my one rep max anymore either.
Mm-hmm. That was actually my next question. Then is it like some sort of strength thing that you're looking for? You're literally just going because you thoroughly just enjoy the pump and the workout and the. Would you say that it's like a little bit of, you get a little bit of Peter time because...
I do. And I find it is a stress relief for me as well.
Okay.
And it's my alone time. And it's my time, 1 hour to just exercise and clear my mind and just, you know, do it to kind of feel better.
Right. So you spend about an hour and you're very like go, 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 very mm-hmm. little rest kind of thing, right? Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm on a time, I don't mm-hmm. have much time. I only have an hour to work out, so my workouts are probably about 40 minutes long.
Which is, I think, more than enough. You could squeeze a lot in 40 minutes.
Oh, yeah,
and definitely. You don't strike me as someone that takes if you take breaks, very short breaks, you know?
Oh, very tiny, very tiny. Okay. Yeah, like maybe 60 seconds breaks between, if the longest will be 60 seconds.
Okay.
Yes.
So you, we kind of already established you get a lot of stuff online, right? You get a lot of stuff through YouTube. Is that where you say you get most of your resources right now? For working
to
out?
To be very honest, I get a lot of my stuff from Men's Health, the Men's Health magazine. A lot of the workouts that I do now, I got from Men's Health, but I do get stuff online as well. But I would say the workouts that I actually do more, I actually got them from the Men's Health magazine as well as the Men's Health website.
Yeah, that was my go-to, one of my go-to resources when I was young. I used to have... Yeah, I used to have like a yearly subscription to Men's Health magazine. That was when I was a kid or a teenager, right? That was Men's Health. There was Men's Fitness, and I always loved bodybuilding magazines as well.
Yes, me too. Which one?
Something I'm forgetting which one I had described to three all the time, and my sister always thought I was like so weird. Like you just look at the magazines of dudes working out. Like is that? Yes. I was like, but yeah, I always used to get a lot of inspiration from there, especially in the Men's Health magazine. They had those little pullouts, like the monthly pullout workouts.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh,
I have I had so many of those like pullouts.
Yeah.
But it got to a point where I just memorized the ones that I liked more than the others, or found the ones that I liked the best. Because most of those ones, it's usually they're interviewing somebody like a fitness coach expert. Uh-huh, like there's this one guy called Jim Jones. Have you heard of Jim Jones?
Jim Jones, no, but it's, no, I haven't.
He's pretty cool. Like he's a strength coach, but he puts workouts together.
Okay.
And they're just like, they're really, really good. They're hard. They're intense. They're advanced, which is why I like him. But yeah, I like my Jim Jones workouts. They're really good.
Yeah. And I know we chatted off air about this, but also the Nike training app, I think is really cool. And it's almost like an extension of Men's Health, because now they're getting like celebrities to come on and do, or not celebrities, but I guess also celebrities, but also athletes. Like I think this month they're featuring Ronaldo, the soccer player Ronaldo. He's
on
doing,
the cover?
Sorry?
Or is he on the cover?
No, he's the featured workout in the app.
Oh,
yeah. So train like Ronaldo, and you can kind of see like what he's doing off training. Does.
Oh, yeah. That's a really good idea.
Yeah, and you know, you get to see what he does, and it's kind of like, oh, you kind of get into the idea of how athletes train. Because I remember when I was coming up and I was following just football players, basketball players, everybody was basically just doing the bodybuilding workouts, right? Like that was the workout that everyone must do. And it's so interesting to see now that not too many people do that anymore.
Yeah, because there's kettlebells and there's bands and there's so many other things you can do now.
Yeah, yeah. Did you have like any inspirations when you were growing up? Like, were we coming up? Like, did you follow anybody other than Hannibal? Like,
Growing up, I was infatuated by bodybuilders as well.
Oh, okay.
So like the Ronnie Colemans, Arnold. I really liked watching, you know, the bodybuilding competitions, and so I wasn't like a super fan where I wanted to be like a bodybuilder myself, but I really loved watching those guys and you know, wanted to, you know, have nice muscles, not as big, but you know, muscles like them one day. So it was always something that I admired and liked.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. So on top of all this, I want to congratulate you, because you are 1 year. You've been following a plant-based diet. Is that correct?
That is correct. August is my 1 year anniversary. I've become a vegetarian. It wasn't easy, but I've been able to do it, and I almost kind of used that excuse as like, oh wow. And that was one of my things too. It's like when I had that mindset of wanting to gain weight and stuff like that, I was like, I have to eat meat because I have to gain weight, but I'm at the weight that I'm at now, which I'm happy with. I'm 160 pounds now, and I haven't dropped weight because of being a vegetarian, so it seems to be working.
That's it, everybody. Another episode in the books. I know you can't wait to hear about Peter's plant-based journey. He dropped some serious golden nuggets on how he did it and didn't go crazy, and how he didn't lose any of his strength and muscle gains. Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode. I'll be back on Thursday with another coaching call with Dave. We only have a few more weeks left together, so to hit his goals and hit his benchmarks. I'll be honest, I don't even know myself. If you want to get in touch with me, or if you want to be part of Team Remix, you can join our Facebook group at bit.ly/remixmyfitness, and that'll take you directly to our Facebook group, which is called Team Remix. And there you can ask me questions, you can talk to other team members there, and everyone's out there just giving a helping hand. It's really amazing to see. So that's it for me. I hope you go out there, you set some goals, you challenge yourself. But most of all, don't forget to have some fun, because that's what it's really all about. So until next time, peace.